Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Great to have John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house with us here on this Tuesday. He was our sidekick for the entire 3 days of shows from the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. John, you never got to meet the FBI guy, but I got to meet the retired FBI guy that lives in Livingston. Great guy. As much as you dislike the FBI guys, I think you would actually like this FBI guy. Really good guy. But anyway, so I think it was the Thursday night down in Vegas. I'm meeting a buddy that we served over in Afghanistan together, and he just retired out of the Las Vegas PD. John Woosnam, you got the chance to meet him.
Oh, yeah.
During the show. Really, really good guy. But anyway, I wrap up my conversation and my great Tatanka cigar, by the way, with John. And then all of a Tatanka. And then all of a sudden, another crew from Montana says, "Hey, Aaron, we saw you over there. Come join us." I go join these guys, and it's like Hollywood stuntmen. It's an FBI guy, it's a CIA guy, a couple of Montana guys that got the Expedition Overland Ranch there in the Gallatin Valley. And so it was a pretty cool crew. But I heard the news back then that they might have a Days of Thunder sequel coming out. And I don't know about you, but the Top Gun sequel was incredible, right? Which is hard to beat, the original Top Gun. But Days of Thunder was another Tom Cruise movie when I was a kid in the 80s, or maybe it was the early 90s. I love Days of Thunder, so maybe this one could be good, too.
Help me, Jesus. Help me, Tom Cruise. I mean, that really, really, really was. It's Top Gun on the track. It was that whole scenario. It's the whole story on the track. I really hope they do that. The Hollywood guy was saying they're thinking about it?
The Hollywood stuntman was telling me this, because he was a stuntman for Tom Cruise in Days of Thunder, and then he was also a stuntman for Tom Cruise. He was riding horseback on Far and Away. Remember the great movie
Far and Away.
That was filmed in Montana, that great homesteader scene when they all take off on horseback and more. But, yeah, here's what Michelle Polino with Fox News just had this report earlier this morning.
Jeff Gordon, NASCAR Hall of Famer and four-time Cup Series champ, wants a Days of Thunder sequel, and he says he's talked to Tom Cruise about making it happen. Gordon said he already spoke to Cruise about the project because he wants him to do it. According to the Hollywood Reporter, Cruise discussed a follow-up of the film in November with Paramount. The 1990 film, initially panned for its exaggerations, has since become a cult classic among NASCAR fans. Gordon, now vice chairman at Hendrick Motorsports, celebrated a Daytona 500 win Sunday with team owner Rick Hendrick and driver William Byron.
All right, now the other addition that we've got to have, John, we've got to have the Beast. Don't tell Dan Bongino I called the White House limo the Beast.
Yeah, you can't say that.
You got to have President Trump riding in the limo in Days of Thunder, too. It's got to happen. It's got to happen, right?
Remember, Days of Thunder, the ultimate quote from there is, "Rubbing is racing."
That's right. That's right.
Rubbing is racing.
I use that all the time. When I did the go-karts outside of Glacier National Park,
you're slamming into people. Rubbing is racing,
boys. I wasn't slamming into anybody. I told my kids that. Rubbing's racing, boys. Then you get yelled at by the 15-year-old running the track. You're not supposed to do that.
Sir, we're going to kick you out of here.
Yellow flag. Hey, if you...
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
That's right. Give us a call. We've got the phone lines open for you. John Jackson sidekicking with us. John, before we get to Tim and Bozeman here, Fox News Radio also had a report here that DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, is now revealing $55 billion in estimated taxpayer savings that they have now identified. And a lot of this is some crazy woke stuff when it comes to the wasteful spending. But even if some of this was good stuff, it's like, We're $36 trillion in debt. We don't have the money. But you were seeing, there's a great guy on X out of Florida. I think he's a radio guy in Florida. Is it Eric Doherty? Is saying that it's actually about double that is what they've identified now, right?
Yeah, they've put, you guys have seen that famous debt clock that's always running. Well, they have added onto that clock the Doge clock. And right now it's currently running, but Doge has currently saved the taxpayers $109 billion, and a lot of that is they are taking these ridiculous contracts and canceling them and clawing money back just every way they can do to stop this. And trust me when I tell you, Aaron, this $109 billion is the tippity tip crystalline on the top of the iceberg that we are going to find of the waste, fraud, and abuse in our government.
Oh, I totally concur based off of everything we're seeing and hearing. And the IRS is where they're targeting next. And they're saying if you thought the USAID was bad, wait till you hear what they're going to find at the IRS. Into the phone lines we go. Let me see. We've got Tim in Bozeman first up. Tim, good to hear from you. What's going on?
Hey, so something I was trying to ask, I've been asking many, many people. You know, we watched the Biden administration want to pay off student loans and print more money. I don't know if a lot of people realize, but we're right now at $1 trillion in interest that we pay out for our debt right now. And they have said that in 4 years, we would be actually paying more in interest than what we're bringing in. So is the plan been the whole time that, hey, here's how we get rid of Social Security, here's how we get rid of everything else is for the country, you know, to have to file bankruptcy because we don't have the money for all these programs? And the other thing is, I don't think a lot of people realize, is that interest goes to the central banks, which is the rich.
Yeah, first off, the interest on servicing the debt alone, I'd have to go back and look at the conversation I had with State Senator Tom McGilvery out of Billings, who is the state Senate majority leader in the legislature in Helena right now. But I know, I mean, a year ago, we were talking about how we were already well on track. I think we had already surpassed it by that point, where we were spending more money just to service our debt than we were for national defense, for example. So our credit card bill alone was more than what we were spending as a country for national defense. For those of you that think we might need that sort of thing right now.
Well, what they've said for years now is you have, before you even take any kind of chunk out of our debt and our deficit, you have to be looking at the entitlements in the military. And they have already found, I saw the figure the other day, at just at first blush, $2.7 trillion, that's with a big T, of Medicaid, Medicare funds going overseas to people who did not qualify for it. Now, like I said, that's just first blush. What do you think they're going to find in the aggregate when they really get their algorithm in there with Elon's autistic geniuses and they find out the exact numbers of this stuff? You're going to find out we're not actually in all this debt. This is pure incompetence, wasteful spending, and these guys funneling our tax money to their friends.
I loved your analogy about Elon Musk's kids going in there identifying this stuff. Since we're talking Tom Cruise 1980s movies, you know, gotta go to Kmart. You sick Rain Man on these guys, and look at what he's gonna uncover. This guy knows the numbers, I'm telling you what.
Well, like our friend Pam in North Carolina points out, he's not only these kids just computer code geniuses, right? But they're 18, 19, 20, you know, young kids who are actually sleeping in some of these offices and doing rotations. Like they're bringing in couches. One group of them works 8, 10, 12 hours. The other go to sleep. The other crew comes on. I mean, these people are about getting the job done.
Yeah, they're committed, which is such a contrast compared to what we've seen all too often out of the federal bureaucracy. And we've said it time and time again, there are some incredible federal employees. John's a retired federal law enforcement officer. There are men and women that do an incredible job serving this country, but there's also a lot of shallow state bureaucrats, deep state bureaucrats who are wasting your money. And frankly, even some of them, even if they are doing a good job, we don't have the money. we're $36 trillion in debt. I mean, that's the other angle here, John, is that even if all this stuff was not just fraud, waste, and abuse, we've got to trim the fat somewhere.
If you ever listen to the Dave Ramsey show, you know, the financial guy, that's what he tells people all the time. They'll call in with this, that, and the other thing, and they're $300,000 in debt, say, for a family. And they talk about, oh, I wanted to, nope, you are rice and beans, beans and rice for the next 2 years. You're not going to a movie. You're not going out to eat. You're not going on a vacation until you clear this up. And that's, I think, the idea that Elon and Trump have right now is that beans and rice and beans, until this is taken care of.
And boy, Elon and Donald J. Trump, to quote Forrest Gump, they are like peas and carrots. Peas and carrots.
Yeah, Hannity's got the interview with both of them together. That's
coming out tonight. Yeah, there was one soundbite where they released today where what was Elon Musk talking about in that one? Oh, he's talking about how irrational the Never Trumpers are. And he talked about the moment when he finally realized that Trump derangement syndrome is really real, that there are some people that are so deranged that just by bringing up the name Donald Trump, it's like
vampire. They pull out the cross.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like a stake through the heart for some people. It's just crazy. All right, let's get to some callers right after this. We got Kat in eastern Montana, Steve in Ballantyne, and lines open for you. Did you?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, the one thing I do want to talk about here at some point is they're finally doing it. They're actually going to do it. A PSA, a public service announcement. You know, at least in Billings, I'm like, oh, for Pete's sake, if I hear one more of these stupid PSAs. Now, I get it. Look, we provide a public service here as broadcasters, but at least in Billings, I'm like, man, if I hear one more freaking PSA. But this one, this is a PSA. You can run this PSA all day, every day, and we'll still be saying more of that one. I'll tell you about that here in just a second. But first, let's get to some more callers on the phone lines. We've got Kat in eastern Montana. Kat, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning, Aaron and John, and thank you to our veterans, and hello, Montana. Lots and lots of winning taking place all over the country and in our own state. HB 320 School Choice passed its second reading, and I think it's today we're going to have the third reading, and so I wanted to thank everyone for their hard work, their prayers, pressure, and votes, because many people have worked so hard to see this bill through. We have more work to do on it, but we just managed to take a huge step for students and parents in Montana. So congrats to us on that. As far as my usual projects, I am still championing for prison reform, fighting the liberal mind virus one tweet at a time. And my new project is making We the People Great Again. I do want to touch very quickly on SB 114, Ten Commandments in Schools. Eight Republicans voted against it. One could argue, well, the separation of church and state. But that statement is not found in any founding documents. As a matter of fact, Thomas Jefferson wrote that, using it as a metaphor, as a wall of separation in 1802 to the Danbury Baptist Association. He did not want to pass laws to establish a national church, but we can apparently have trans flags in school programs, including the Church of Satan. My problem isn't the bill not passing the Senate because we have to pick and choose our battles. My problem is with the Republicans continually voting against the party. Regular names keep popping up, and don't think for one second I'm not paying attention. I have lists. So God bless you all. God bless Montana, and God bless the United States of America.
Hey, God bless you, Kat. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, John, so the bill, this was a bill by State Senator Bob Phelan out of Glendive. I was just in Glendive on Friday. This is a bill that would have required the Ten Commandments be posted in classrooms up across the state. And, of course, the Democrats voted against it, but then a handful of Republicans voted against it as well. Some of them are definitely conservatives, even though they voted against this. And I can see where some people might say, well, why do we have to require it? Why do we have to mandate it in every classroom? To me, having the Ten Commandments in a classroom setting just makes sense. whether you have a faith or don't have a faith, well, first off, the Ten Commandments is not a denominational specific. It's recognized by Christians and Jews. But again, even if you are a person who doesn't have a faith, it is an important legal document that has helped form the basis of the American legal system that we have today. The Magna Carta, common law, all of these things shaped our legal system into what it is today. So why would that not be in schools? But you know, the Democrats, they absolutely do not want to promote anything that might in any way hint that there is a higher power out there.
Well, I may have an unpopular opinion on this, Aaron, and I've started to now in the last 10, 15 years. I always take a look at whatever we're doing is if the left-wing communists got their hands on this issue, how could they use it? And here's my problem with that. If you make it okay to have one religious set of whatever inside a classroom, you mandate it. Then what is Tampon Tim going to do over in Minnesota? What is the next Democrat governor, Democrat legislature in Montana going to do? They're going to have pieces of the Quran inside your classroom, and they're going to say, no, you guys made that okay because you put the Ten Commandments in there. I truly believe
Would try to do that anyway.
But we don't need to open the door for them, you know.
But the Ten Commandments, if you could specify, well, they'll teach the Quran, they'll include that in world history and world religion classes.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Right? But to me, like, if you were to say, well, you know, but the Quran didn't help develop the American legal system, unless there's one little aspect of it that I haven't considered yet, right? But we know that the Ten Commandments has. And so, but yeah, you would see the gymnastics done by the Democrats to argue why they think that, you know, their transgender religion. They're already pushing their environmental religion in the schools, you name it. You mentioned Tampon Tim. So Tampon Tim Walz, for, you know, the governor of Minnesota, who was Kamala Harris's vice presidential running mate. For those of you across Montana that haven't seen, John and I have been tweeting about this already on X. The Montana Democrat Party, their keynote speaker for their upcoming Mansfield Metcalf banquet is, ding, 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 Tampon Tim Walz. What if somebody showed up outside the event dressed as Tampon Tim? Now, our friend Greg Franks, though, he's got a clarifying question for us on this one. He says, okay, if somebody is going to dress up as Tampon Tim, let me see. I got to pull up the exact phrasing from him here. Where did he put it? I had a message from him. Now I can't find it. But anyway, he was wondering, okay, so if I'm going to dress up like Tampon Tim, do I dress up like, you know, the Elmer Fudd that can't find his shotgun, or as an actual tampon? Help me out before I get all dressed up for the big party, for the big Black Panther party in Helena.
Well, like we said in the last break, somebody, and you know, you're like, we know them. You know who you are out there. You guys need to get together $500 or $1,000 and just buy cases and cases of tampons and have them sent to that meeting. Right? But you know what? I want to see when he does this speech here in Helena. I want to see the videos of him coming out doing his Liberace antics. Hello, you guys are fabulous.
Is this Rent? Are we watching the Rent show on Broadway, or is this Tampon Tim?
Cats here.
Yeah. Jeez, if I wanted to go to the theater, I'd go to Fort Peck Summer Theater, not Helena, to see
you
Tampon Tim.
Fabulous.
Oh man, Steve in Ballantyne next up on the phone lines. What's going on, Steve?
Morning, guys. Well, you know, we haven't seen anything, I don't think, on the Democrats really coming unhinged, because in March they have to do another short bill, long bill to fund the United States government, okay? And I guarantee you it's probably not going to be 1,500 pages this time. Maybe it'll be 20 pages, but Trump will not sign this bill. With what they're doing with Elon and with what's going on, finding all this money, you know dang well that Trump is not going to sign it, so we'll probably have a government shutdown this time. It's probably pretty much an obvious thing in my book.
You know, that's a good question. Yeah, next time I chat with some members of our congressional delegation, I'll have to ask them about that to see, hey, is it still looking at one big, beautiful bill or breaking it into two bills? I think they'll do something to avert a government shutdown. Because I think all of this waste that they're exposing and trimming out, actually I think makes it a little bit easier to try to find a temporary solution in the meantime. But who knows, right, John?
I'll make my prediction to you right now, Aaron, that it's going to be another scam. Because you know why? I'm already figuring that? Because it's too quiet. It's too quiet right now. Here we are almost in the latter half of February. This is coming up in March, and you're not hearing the right people out there squawking about this. And truly, if they were going to actually cut the budget here, you would hear people squalling. They'd already be fighting. And what they're going to do is they're going to put up a normal budget, more or less, but then they're going to put in there that all these monster cuts, you know, in big quotes, and these monster cuts are going to take place over the next 10 years. And you and I both know that'll never happen. That's my prediction here. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I really do hope I'm wrong, but yeah, that's what I see coming.
All right. Well, this one is coming as well. Last year, we've had a few listeners over the year. People would ask the question, whenever we would talk about the illegal aliens that we know are hiding in our state or openly being handed taxpayer money in other states like New York, for example, or Colorado. And they'd say, well, Aaron, is there a number I can call? Is there a phone number I can call, like a tip line? Like, hey, I'm in Columbia Falls, and I know there's illegal aliens here. Here's where they are. What number do I call? And it was a great question then. So anyway, back on the 15th, so 3 days ago, I spot this tweet from ICE. They had just conducted an operation over in Minnesota. And I already knew there was a website to go to. You can go to ice.gov/tips and report suspicious activity. May have used it myself a time or two.
Might have used it.
I know others of you out there have used it. But because it's just a tip. You don't know. But if you see something, say something. Well, you can go to ice.gov/tips. Well, then they also said that there is a phone number now as well. 866-347-2423. 866-347-2423. And 3 days ago, I said this on X. I said, of all the public service announcements we have to listen to on the air, at least in Billings, this should be one. Help ICE officers make your community safer by reporting suspicious activity to us at ice.gov/tips or 866-347-2423. They're doing it. They're going to have an actual ad campaign. Kristi Noem just announced it, basically doing just that. How cool is that?
And I have already ordered from Kristi Noem. I already sent the email. I'm going to get some 3-foot by 3-foot magnetic signs slap on either side of my truck with that number and the website and everything. So as I drive throughout Montana, everybody can see, oh, wait, you stop at a subway. Oh, wait, that's the number. There you go.
Wrap. So the whole vehicle will be wrapped in it. You know, hey, like let's take that pink radio station car and just like rewrap it with the ICE tip line number on it. You know?
I'm going to do like Eddie Murphy did in Distinguished Gentleman. I'm going to roll down the street with my bullhorn, you know, the big speaker. You there. You at the Home Depot. I'm calling ICE on you right now.
Hola. Hola. Sir, hola.
Señor. Ya te veo. Ya estamos viendo.
Con permiso. Finita la música.
Ya viene la amiga. Ya viene la amiga.
Con permiso. A la casa. You know. Hasta luego. If you leave now, you might be allowed to come back later.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
A slight increase in USDA's global wheat production forecast for February is translating to world wheat balance sheet adjustments. The changes started with a 600,000-ton production increase from the previous month, according to Mark Jekinowski, World Ag Outlook Board Chairman.
Global supply is up a bit. Global feed use also raised, mainly reflecting higher feed use in the EU, Ukraine, Thailand, and Kazakhstan. Global wheat exports, we reduced by 3 million tons, and that reflects lower exports out of the EU, lower exports from Russia out of Ukraine. One of the factors driving lower exports is a fairly large cut we made to China's wheat import forecast this month. We lowered that 2.5 million tons.
China's smallest wheat import total in the last 5 years. The result was a 1.3 million ton decrease in world wheat ending stocks from the prior forecast. In other grain news, wheat markets surged this past week as frigid temperatures threatened winter kill in the plains, especially where snow cover is lacking and negative 20-degree weather is set to hit the northern plains. Additionally, Russia's export quota took effect on Saturday, with allowable shipments reportedly just 8.6 million metric tons, over 20 million metric tons lower than last year, adding bullish pressure for U.S. wheat. I'm Wayne Northlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I don't know how John and I got to talking about it. So John and I, you know, we took advantage of the four-minute break there to walk down the hall, refill coffee, etc. Somehow, John, we end up talking about it. You were telling me the story. You were in Bagram, Afghanistan, and you're walking down. All of a sudden, the guy driving the Adam Schiffer truck, we'll just call it the Adam Schiffer truck, the guy there to clean out all the porta-johns. And you were telling me, you could have swore that guy was Osama bin Laden. Holy cow, I think I just saw bin Laden driving the Adam Schiffer truck.
You know, I swear, I looked at him because, you know, how the truck goes right by you. It's going slow on those tiny little roads there on Bagram base. And so I look at him, like, not even from here to the television set right there, 20 feet. I'm like, wait, that's Osama bin Laden.
Where's Bob O'Neill? Get that Butte kid out here.
We were just about to do a vehicle stop on that on the poop truck there and pull him out of there and slam him on the ground. You know?
Well, and then they were laughing. I was like, man, we had a guy that totally looked like Geraldo Rivera. So I just pulled up the photo from my Facebook here. So really cool story. Our medic, Ben Sleaford, he's a law enforcement back in Illinois, but kind of on the Iowa border. Last name Sleaford. Actually, when I did my show from Forsyth, they were like cousins of his. And because I remembered he had family in eastern Montana. I said, hey, who is your family in eastern Montana? And my medic, my doc says, oh, it's so-and-so. I was like, I'm at their restaurant right now. So that was pretty cool. But no joke. So our doc, he took care of this little baby girl that was brought to our base. Well, actually, we were out on a patrol up in the mountains, and we were out dismounted and, you know, drinking the chai and then doing dismounted operations, patrolling with the Afghan police. Our medic is back at the Humvees with the vehicles and the guys pulling security. And this grandfather with this gray beard and black turban on walks up and says, hey, will you help my granddaughter? She's been hurt very bad. She fell into the fire, you know, because they cook with campfires there, right? And the doc's like, yes, I would love to do that, but we can't really do that right now and right here because we'd have to wait too long. And, you know, you get security concerns and things like that. I said, but bring her down to our base. You know where our base is? Bring her down. And that, long story short, our medic and the other medic that was there at the time and everybody rallies to get this little girl help. We fly her down to Salerno, the big base down in Coast. And they give her skin grafts, and it was just such a great story. Anyway, when we went with the Afghan police to pick up this girl and escort her and her grandfather and her mom, full burqa, the mom's in full burqa, and we escort them back up the KG Pass back to their village, or at least to where our location was at, her grandpa was there. So I'm going to show you the photo of her grandpa. Because everybody on Facebook at the time was like, holy crap, doesn't he look like Geraldo Rivera?
Oh, my God.
He's like Geraldo Rivera with a turban on, isn't he?
And the long gray beard.
Yeah, the long gray beard. He's got the mustache going and everything, though. I mean, I would love to share that on our website now, but I don't know, you know, given whatever the heck is going on in Afghanistan now, you know, probably don't need to put the spotlight on anybody. But, yeah, man, crazy. All right. Back into the news of the day conversations here. 406-294-0970 is the number if you got something you want to talk about. But so, John, look, our listeners, they're up to speed. They've been fully briefed. They know the problems we have with Tren de Aragua, the violent Venezuelan prison gang. We just had arrests last Thursday in Bozeman and Belgrade. They know that the Mexican drug cartels have been targeting our reservations in particular. We see a whole bunch of illegal aliens in our jails. Bozeman at one point had a dozen of them just a few weeks ago, you know, people on a immigration retainer. So they know it's a problem. And so that's why, you know, the other day when I said, hey, here's the phone number to call. Here's the website for ICE where you can report suspicious activity. If you think there's illegal aliens, et cetera, here's how you can share that information with law enforcement. And then I said, this should be a public service announcement. This should be an ad campaign. Well, the Department of Homeland Security is launching a new ad campaign as part of their effort to combat illegal immigration. The latest ad featuring Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, of course, the former South Dakota governor, issuing a warning to migrants from other countries, telling them not to enter the U.S. illegally or they will be removed.
Under President Trump, we are defending American families and restoring their safety. If you try to enter illegally, you will be caught. You will be removed and you will never return.
All right, there you go. Could you imagine if Tampon Tim Walz was running the country right now? You would not have a tough cowgirl like Kristi Noem putting that message out there on the airwaves, that's for sure.
Well, what you've seen, people were talking about that just the other day on X, and you've seen now what Doge has uncovered here, Trump and Doge have uncovered here in just 3 weeks, almost a month into the term. Imagine that fraud, waste, abuse, and then on top of it, the victimization of our country by the third world scum coming in here, just barreling in here as Biden opened up the gates. If we had had four more years of that, we would not come back from it. It would have been over. And you've heard Elon and Trump say that, and other historians on our side look at that saying we would not have survived another 4 years of it.
That's right. John, what else do you got scribbled on your list there, the things to talk about that maybe we didn't get to yet? Because I always forget to ask you that. And then before the show's over, I'm like, oh, man, we never got to this, 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 or this.
Well, see, Aaron, I never walk into your studio empty-handed, bro. I bring the goods.
Yeah, you know, I bring yourself a coffee.
I bring the receipts.
No coffee for me, though.
You don't want this coffee, man. This is pure gasoline right
Well,
here.
You're right, because I've got some 82 Coffee Company coffee out of Dillon, Montana right here. So I win, you lose. That's all right.
This is about five shots of espresso in here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you know, is it pure gasoline?
I'll take it. Just throw a little protein shake in there for creamer and flavor, and we're good.
A little shot of bourbon.
That works, too. You know. Willie's Distillery, as long as it's from Willie's, yeah.
A little bit of good news in the winning side is they had to report that one of these illegal alien shelters out in San Diego that was being funded by one of these NGOs, meaning it was being funded by your tax money, has now closed down. Has had to shut down, and that's pretty significant being there in San Diego. They have to shut down, and you know why? Because that's like shooting fish in a barrel, because you got the whole bunch of them just sitting right there being ready to be grabbed up by ICE. I'm sure the place is just vacant right now. And people are talking about different areas that they see throughout the country that they see illegals normally are ghost towns. Now, we don't know how many of these people have self-deported or how many of them are just hiding, but they ain't out in the public right now.
Yeah, no, it's huge, and that shows that President Trump and his team and his policies are already working on day one. But they kept telling us, John, oh, we need a bill before we can secure the border. We just need to fund a comprehensive immigration bill. We just need to do that. No, it was all BS. We all knew it. It was just a Democrat Party talking point. It was just John Tester trying to make it sound like he had an answer for the open borders that he allowed to happen.
And Jim Lankford, Republican out of Oklahoma, along with Mitch McConnell, are the people that made that gave the Democrats a talking point on that for the next year, taking it into the election, claiming that they had tried to work on bipartisan bill to stop all of this, but the Republicans cratered it.
Yeah, Bill Malugin, who's done such a great job covering the southern border for Fox, he had this regarding that NGO migrant shelter in San Diego.
So the San Diego NGO says its shelter has had not a single migrant walk through its door since President Trump took office. They're now closing that shelter down and laying off more than 100 employees, they say, because of Trump's border policies and his ending of their federal funding. Jewish Family Service San Diego has been running a rapid response migrant shelter that offered migrants care packages, food, legal services, travel coordination, medical screenings, and immigration case management. FEMA records show they had been allocated $22 million last year, but the NGO says they've received none of that money.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. Man, that reminds me, who was it? Was it Stephen Miller who pointed out, who was it? It was such a great reminder. Remember when the schools were closed in San Diego? I said San Diego. Since we were talking about, you know, rubbing his race in and all these movie references, you got to call it San Diego. Can't just call it San Diego.
Well, as we all know, that's Spanish for a whale's vagina.
Oh, come on now. Whoa, hey.
Anchorman reference.
Anchorman reference. Yeah. But anyway, like, remember when they shut down the schools in San Diego? But then some of the same teachers who were too afraid to teach kids in person because of COVID-19, somehow they found the time and the courage to teach illegal alien children in person during COVID-19. I mean, my goodness.
And these illegal alien kids coming across the border, along with their parents, have probably never had anything like any kind of health care that we have had. No vaccinations of any kind, much less COVID, bringing in TB and again, a resurgence in measles, all kind of nasty stuff bringing in here. And they didn't have any problem with that.
Yeah, and we did start to see a spike in some of that stuff. All right, I'm not hearing the bumper music, but I see we got to take a hard break here in just a second, so we'll be back right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We've been talking about Doge and all the fraud, waste, and abuse that Elon Musk and his team are uncovering. Morgan in Helena just sent us this message on the Montana Talks app. Montana is expanding Medicaid expansion knowing the program is riddled with fraud. That comes from Morgan in Helena. So, Morgan, thanks for that message. By the way, checking X, checking Twitter right now. The Montana Sentinel, which is a conservative website, blog, X account, you want to name it, that works very closely with the Montana Freedom Caucus. They just sent me a message here. Every voter in these districts needs to see this. And the Montana Freedom Caucus is calling out what they refer to as the Nasty Nine. The Montana Freedom Caucus says this: the Nasty Nine continue to defy the voters and impede work in the Montana Senate. So far, they've conspired to vote down the following bills or engage in dirty politics while ignoring the critical work Montanans need to be done. And they list all of the names of the Republicans that have been voting with the Democrats on rules and committee assignments. Senator Ellsworth, Senator Gillespie, Senator Hunter, Senator Kassmeyer, Senator Lammers, Senator Logie, Senator McCamey, Senator Temple, and Senator Vance. Yeah, John, I've been consistent with this. I never like it when you got a handful of Republicans or even a handful of conservatives that undermine the rest of their caucus. And it looks like that's what happened once again last night. Apparently tensions boiled over in the Montana State Senate last night, and you even had one of the Democrats yelling and pounding the desk so hard that Lee newspapers report the sergeant-at-arms briefly stood over her.
Well, these people, every single one of them, need to get named and shamed out here on your program, on X. You know, Kat, if you're listening, everybody needs to be naming and shaming these people. They need to get primaried every time. And your local GOPs, the state GOP, needs to blackball them, shun them. And here's the thing. If you're a conservative, you should not ever be voting for anything that expands government. And the second thing is, if you are constantly voting for things that expand the government, guess what? You're a Democrat. Okay? You are not a conservative Republican.
Well, or even if you feel like, you know, your constituency, you know, you're being pressured by your rural hospital, say in northeastern Montana, to support, you know, the continuance of Medicaid expansion. Well, okay, well, why not add a court-proofed work requirement to that? Why not add a means test to that so that people that have assets in the millions of dollars but technically don't work, so they don't make any income, they don't get the free stuff that we, the working people, have to pay for? I mean, so even if you feel like you have to reauthorize an existing program like this, why wouldn't you add a couple of sideboards to it? And just because you felt like, you know, your constituents told you to support Medicaid expansion, it doesn't mean that you need to blindly do whatever the hospital association tells you to do, especially when it comes to the privacy of when it comes to medical records and parents' rights and hospitals that are trying to hide important health information from the parents of these kids. And you gave a personal firsthand story involving how they are trying to do just that.
Oh, yeah. And here we are. We all know why all of this, with the domino effect of why all this is messed up, is because of Obamacare. And what here we as Republicans are going to come riding to save the day for Obamacare? No. You need to feel every bit of this so that maybe we can get this thing repealed. We were one vote away from getting it repealed during Trump's last term, and McCain sentenced us all to Obamacare for the last God knows how many years, just because he was a spiteful turd. But we're the people that are supposed to come back and save the Obamacare scheme? No, huh?
All right. We got to talk weather. I mean, you've been carrying this Adam Schiff with you every time you come into studio now. You came last week, it was like 50 below zero. Oh. You come this week, it's like 50 below zero again. Let's see. Great Falls National Weather Service office says Arctic air will stick around for another day with wind chills as low as 55 below, possibly for tonight for portions of the High Line. And I did see that, I think, up north of Saco, I think it was, they were like 56 below zero or something on the wind chill map. I'm having a little trouble reading my printout right now. But, yeah, and then we're going to have highs in the 40s in some of those same areas I just mentioned here later in the weekend. So
watch out. Watch out for Thursday and Friday, because you've seen all throughout this region here, what do you have? How many inches of snow and ice are packed down hard onto your roads? And come Thursday and Friday, when that starts to maybe get above 30 degrees, guess what happens to the top layer of all that? It starts to get slippery, slotty. It will be even worse. These roads will be even worse come Thursday, Friday.
And then it freezes at night, so your early morning commute can be really hairy. Yeah. So, yeah, you almost have to be more careful during those transitionary periods. Yeah. In fact, one thing the National Weather Service office in Glasgow also pointed out is that the warmer weather will, of course, start to melt some of the snow, and then that will result in rising ice and water in small streams. So you'll get, you know, some of the, you know, the ice concerns in the smaller streams, potential flooding types of impacts as well.
Well, that's what we need Tampon Tim here for, moisture, you know, absorbance.
You just plug up all the gaps.
Absorbency. We need him here.
Liberace.
There you go. Thank you, people. Hey. We're fabulous here in Montana.
It's going to be a fabulous entrance when Tampon Tim shows up in Helena, that's for sure.